Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. Welcome to the 629th edition of the Feuerstein Spire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you an American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. Get your daily reading from me and other writers over at Beyond the 90, at beyondthe90.substack.com, and of course, locally on the New York Red Bulls at Red Bull News Network. But as always, this show is dedicated to the American game for all of you. Chat room is open. Come on in. Discuss amongst yourselves if you like. You have a question for me, I'll try to answer it to the best of my abilities. And as we are off and running in the 2024 Major League Soccer season, what an amazing start this has been for some of these clubs that we probably did expect, that we didn't expect, but felt there was going to be a strong, solid start in this 2024 season. And as of right now, the points are pretty good. They're at a premium, and they're doing well. At this point in time, we have about seven clubs in front in their respective conferences at the top. And at the moment, the points per game, as well as the goal differential, is playing its part on where which side remains in first, second, third, or fourth. But unbeaten no more is Inter Miami with Lionel Messi with their latest loss to Club de Foot Montreal. And because of that loss, they are now, with basically already played one match more than the rest of the East, two wins, a loss, and a tie. But for Montreal, Columbus, the New York Red Bulls, and Toronto, 7 points unbeaten in three games with two wins and a draw. In the West at the moment, it is the Portland Timbers and Minnesota United FC that are in the top of the West with two wins and a draw. The LA Galaxy at the moment with a win and two draws, and the same goes for St. Louis City. What we are expecting here are certain teams to dominate. And as of right now, those teams have not dominated. Goodly, LAFC is at a win, draw, and a loss. FC Dallas with a win and two losses. Kansas City at the moment is out of the gate with three draws. And it's a little unusual for them once again. But once again, I won't second guess Peter Vermes unless he's really, really in big trouble. But he looked like he might have been in big trouble before. Now, probably not. Because once again, I will not go against Peter Vermes and how he has managed Sporting Kansas City and knows how to get his club back into the race for a playoff position. We'll wait and see what happens, but at this point in time, I'm not going to panic for Sporting Kansas City just yet. Just yet. It will happen. And all I can say is that when you have the start of a season the way it has gone so far, and it's still early in the season, I understand. Right now, it's all just a bunch of packs. No one has separated themselves yet. But look at what's happened with some of these clubs. Look at what happens when you bring in a brand new manager to their fold. Sandro Schwarz for the Red Bulls. Courtois for Montreal. John Herdman for Toronto FC. And let me just say this about John Herdman. And you know, we've never seen him manage a club side before. When he was basically running the national teams of Canada, first the women and then the men. And you see what he has done for Canadian soccer on the national team stage. The moment he moved to the club scene and joined Toronto FC, I had this feeling that he was going to work his magic for TFC. I really, really thought that he was going to go out there and he was going to find the way to put them on the map back again. Because why? Because when John Herdman is able to allow his national team to, whether it be men or women, to run and play freely, pitch, lets them work it, lets them cook, lets them do anything and everything, all you can say is that I had a good feeling, a very, very good feeling, that Toronto was going to improve. Not so much who was going to be on the pitch, who will be in the starting 11 and who's coming off the bench. It's who is going to be inside the technical area. Because the truth is, they needed someone to be more flexible with them and to allow the players to be themselves. And honestly, it's worked for them. I mean, if you really think about it, look at the change with what the Portland Timbers have with Philip Neville. I mean, you say to yourselves at first, oh, look, he was horrible. Horrible with Miami and how they were doing it. But once again, maybe Miami was not the right fit for him, or at least the direction they were going towards, which was messy. And it didn't work. And now it's working in Portland. Because maybe he has a better feel for the game with the Timbers than what he had with Miami. And look what's going on in Minnesota. Now they're playing freer. They are going to have their new head coach coming over from Manchester United, but at this point in time, who they have currently as the interim before that new manager comes in, look what he's done so far. And I understand they went England, but still though. And don't get me wrong, Manchester United is one of the best clubs that I know, not currently now, but I've always felt they'll always wanted to be one of the best clubs in England in the Premier League. Of course, those days with Sir Alex Ferguson, but still though. What's the point of bringing over the gentleman from Man United if their current interim is actually doing the job? You know what I mean? What we are witnessing, folks, are teams that we expected to not be good, to come out of nowhere and absolutely start off on the front foot. They are, without a doubt, looking to show why. Why? Why they are basically coming up big and having a good start. And the hope is that these teams can continue this start deep into the season and make a run. I mean, that's the hope here, isn't it? But once again, this is going to be a challenge because we all know MLS is different. because of the physical nature of the league. And because of the League's Cup now interfering with the MLS regular season, we won't know what's going to happen in between the end of July to the end of August with League's Cup. Because you got to shift your priorities. Now you got to face one MLS team and then one Liga MX team. And then you got to make a run. And then you got to hope to stay strong in that run, to go as deep as you can. Because if you get eliminated in the group stage and then you get eliminated early in the knockout stages, well, then, you know, what are you doing? What's going on? Why is this situation happening? Simple. Because too much time off. If you get eliminated early in the League's Cup, means you got to ratchet it up again. And that's not good. It's not good. That's why in this sport, it's a continuous motion. Now, granted, there's international dates where you got to take a break. And that's fine. But not longer than a week. Or at least a couple of days. And for some of the players who have international duties, they got to go and head over and play for their national teams. And this is why League's Cup, in my opinion, has been a hindrance. Because it's not about the money. It's about, is there real historic value in this tournament? And the answer is no. It's just a way for MLS to bully themselves against U.S. soccer and bully themselves on CONCACAF. And they've gotten their way. It's a shame. Shouldn't have happened, but it has. And all I can really say is this. I wish that, I mean, I really, really wish that these people that run the Federation and Victor Montagliani that runs CONCACAF would just put their foot down and just say no. No, we cannot have it like this. But unfortunately, it does. And unfortunately, they have. It's a real shame. And it's got to stop. It's really, really got to stop. And I hope somewhere down the line, this thing ends as quickly as possible. I guess once Messi is retired, I don't know when it will happen. I'm not going to, you know, speculate or anything. But honestly, it's just getting to the point where it's just really, really disheartening. And it's disrupting the flow of the natural order of the soccer calendar during the regular season, during the on season. So hopefully, we will be rid of this thing. I hope so. I don't know when it will happen, but I hope it will happen. Normally, I would not be against stuff like this, but in reality, you know, we got to be mindful of what is really important here in the States. And as we've already said, the Open Cup is the most important thing to the situation here in the States. And I really, really hope, I really do hope that it does happen, and we'll go back to being regular once again. Ladies and gentlemen, I got a great show for you tonight. Joining me, as always, he is the beat writer for the Los Angeles Galaxy for now, El Tráfico TV. But no matter where he goes in downtown L.A., the man is a rock star, period. The one and only Mike Gray joins me tonight. Mike, how are you, and welcome back to the show.
Dude, what's up, Danny? How you been, man?
Oh, I've been great here on the East Coast. How's it going on the West Coast, man?
Oh, just amazing. Yesterday, I was watching the L.A. Nashville game, and my laptop stuck to sound like a jet engine for about 60, 70 minutes. So the first hour of the game, I'm sitting there just trying to fix a laptop, and this is, of course, when same day that daylight savings hit, so I feel like I'm in some sort of special hell. But by the time I got it fixed, that's when the Galaxy are making their comeback, and then the last half hour was really awesome. So, yeah, man, you know me. I've been going through a lot lately. But, yeah, that was the last thing I needed. But, you know, that's life, dude. It happens.
But no, I know. Life, unfortunately.
I got to give you props for that intro, man. Like, thank you for calling me a rock star.
Because it's true. It's all true. Come on. You're the king in L.A. I cannot compete with what you do in L.A., man. You are the rock star. You do everything the rock star way. You cover the club, you know, your ensemble. Everything, man. You're the best. That's why I tell the truth. That's without a doubt. I tell the truth. You're a rock star. That's just period, man. I'm jealous of you. And I don't even have hair left.
Hey, you can have some of mine, dude. Like I can share, man. It's fine. No big deal.
Okay. All right. I'll take it. But, you know, with the LA Galaxy, off to a very strong start. I know winning two draws. I know some Galaxy fans are not happy with the last match. But still, though, I agree with you. I mean, look, this is probably one of their better starts of the season in probably, what, in the last three, 4 years, you would say? I think right now Greg Vanney is finally getting the pieces to the puzzle that he truly needed since coming over.
Yeah, this is Vanny's fourth year in charge of the club, and, you know, this is the first season where Vanny Ball has been fully realized. Will Koontz has done a masterful job coming in, putting the right pieces together for Greg. The restructuring of the front office has allowed Greg Vanney to focus solely on coaching, and if you saw my piece that I did on the stories of LA Galaxy, it all came to fruition versus Miami. LA had almost four expected goals. They completely dominated. If it wasn't for a missed PK, a botched call by a scab ref, and all sorts of shenanigans,
that's right,
it would have been a decisive win. They go to San Jose, decisive away victory, 3-1, result never in doubt. And then Nashville, it's another result where, yeah, you can complain. I had that thing on social media where I told everyone to shut the F up, but, you know, that was just – maybe that was, you know, I don't know if that was daylight savings or if I was, like, really hungry and cranky, but either way, like, no, like, this team is performing so well. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, Cancel and Gabriel Peck, like I said, they've added a new dimension. I know people were upset about Cancel, maybe that he was, that they were able to keep him under wraps. But, I mean, come on, you're playing Nashville, you're in a low block. He still has a shot that goes off the post. And, you know, anytime anyone wants to complain about the game, I just look at the fact that, you know, again, another missed PK, which, of course, that's not going to happen. And then you had two terrible defensive miscues, the first by Paintsville, and then you had Ade just testing the ball down for whatever reason. And, you know, those aren't negative. Those are positives because, you know, we can get into it a little later, but the Galaxy, with Vanny, he had two tasks for this season. The first was to take the pieces that he was getting with Ricky Pooge and to turn those pieces into an elite attacking unit. The other thing was that LA had to solve their terrible rest defense issue. And so far, LA's goals that they're giving up, they're indicative of defensive mistakes, And if you look at the two PKs that they missed, that's not great, obviously, but these are mistakes that are indicative of a club who's still finding form, still in preseason, still getting their feet under themselves. So these are problems that are going to correct themselves. So at the end of the day, I mean, there's a reason why Greg Vanney and the club and everyone around the club is so optimistic. I mean, Mark Delgado was even pointing out how this season in particular, the players understand the assignments, the players are fighting, and most importantly, the players are holding each other accountable. Douglas Costa, you know, it sucks because Vanney's in a situation where he's got to basically babysit him and hold his hand and tell us in the media, you know, how great he is. But he doesn't have to deal with that crap this year. He's got players who are motivated for the fest and for their careers. And it's just a different team this year.
Oh, no, it really does. And it's looking pretty good so far. And my curiosity is this. Does Ricky Puig look very excited in the midfield with these new signings and the way that everyone has come together in these first three matches?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, you know, sort of the talk last year was that him and Dejan Jovetic didn't get along very well. It's a complete 180 this year. I mean, I remember, you know, Dejan misses that PK. It wasn't the greatest PK, but, you know, it was also a really good save by Panico. And so, you know, afterwards, Ricky's running, and he just gives Dejan this little, just gives him this, you know, tap in the back, which, you know, if you play, you just tell them, hey, you know, no big deal. Like, it happens, right? And those two have been very supportive of each other this year. It's almost as if, like, you know, the memo got out, you know, or the word got out that, like, those two don't like each other and they had to fix it or something. Because, I mean, and the other thing with Ricky is that I feel like he's adapted better to the physicality of the league. There was one point in the game where Till Bunbury, who's a big dude, right? Like you know, he makes a challenge, and then Ricky just shoves him off like he's nothing. Like, you know, 125-pound Ricky Pooh shoving away Till Bunbury. You know, that's a mentality thing, and, you know, it's another thing that's improved is there's just a stronger mentality. Like, when your DPs are bought in, it makes all the difference in the world.
Let me ask you this, because I know you probably were at Coachella for the preseason tourney for the Invitational. Did you get that sense early on during preseason that the Galaxy were a different team before this regular season began?
Preseason was a little weird because the Galaxy didn't pick up a win until the final game, but they weren't playing particularly well. I would say that preseason was more about the team being solid defensively. Again, Paintsill didn't come in until the opener, and, you know, same with Tech. So preseason was more about getting the hate together. Just, you know, because, again, that was the big issue, was that the Galaxy couldn't defend to save their life. They gave up a league-leading 67 goals last year. And I remember Vanney, he was thinking he wanted to cut that in half. And we thought that might have been a little ambitious at the time, but so far, it's paying off dividends. I mean, Miki Yamane, he's not your normal right back. What he's been doing is he's been playing inverted as an inverted midfielder at times, kind of like Trent Alexander-Arnold. And then what he's also done is he's also made sure to tuck into the danger spot so that if there is a transition moment, he's right there to squash the opportunity. And he's played a very big role in LA's improved defensive posture. And, yeah, we didn't really even know about Paintsill and Tech until opening day. So you can kind of see how, in just the span of a few weeks, how improved everything is. So imagine what it's going to look like in a couple months. And then when you add in the fact that the Galaxy still have pieces coming in, they have Gaston Brugman, who's instrumental in that midfield. They got Jalen Neal, who's going to add some youth, some breaking line passes. I mean, the future's bright, man.
So let me ask you this, because obviously, you know, Maya Yoshida came over from the J-League, of course, Japanese national team defender. How has he worked well with his back line, including James Neal, who's been, you know, one of the best homegrowns the Galaxy has had in a long time on that back line? Has he worked well, including in these first three games?
I'm so annoyed because I have this memorabilia from when I was a kid, when I played like the Japan national team as a youth player, and like I really wanted to show it to my Mickey and just be like, oh man, you guys, I was a goalkeeper, they scored 4 goals on me in a half, and I just wanted to rag on a little bit. But yeah, Maya has brought vast experience to the back line. He's also, you know, in person, you kind of pick it up right away. There's a reason why he's got the captain's armband. He's an immense figure. I mean, he captained Japan. And, you know, he's got a decorated European career. And he just knows what he's doing. And he's a very good leader, I would say. Not necessarily, like, you know, you might think, you know, you might come to stereotypes with ego stereotype, like, Japanese person. Like he, a part of him does have that Japanese culture, but he's also very loose. He's very relaxed. He's actually one of the funniest guys on the team, believe it or not. He's always cracking subtle jokes and stuff. So he's a perfect character to sort of gel that back line together. Him and Yamane do have chemistry, and then when you have him paired next to Kasaras, he's got a back line that knows what they're doing. The only issue is that we're 3 games into the season. Sasha question was being a character, and you know, you said that they have a combined age of like 75 years old, which is kind of an insult, but you know, it's also kind of true. Eventually, you're going to have wear and tear on those legs, and that's why it's so important to get Jalen Neal back into the fold, because I really think that having those three in a rotation would be the best path forward. Sooner or later, one of those two is going to have some sort of breakdown, so I'd prefer Jalen to get back into the rotation before that happens, so you can keep the squad as with as much depth as possible.
When you've talked to Vanny after matches, whether it be on the Zoom or when you're at the stadiums, can you tell he's looking better? He's like looking happier maybe, or more relaxed when he's talking to the media after these matches and post-match press conferences?
Oh yeah, 1,000%. I mean, like I said last year, he complained that he felt like he had to helicopter in the practice and then he'd go and, you know, try and get rid of 3 or 4 of those fires, you know? I mean, it was just, it was insane, because if I can remind your audience, Chris Klein was suspended last year, which meant that Greg Vanney was both the coach and the sporting director, but he would complain in practices because, you know, he was trying to build the different departments, you know, the scouting, the analytics, youth academy stuff. So he was involved in all those things. And then you have this boycott, which, by the way, I'm not afraid to go against the fan base. People were really mad about Vanny at one point. You know, he kind of – someone was asking him about the boycott, and it was at a point in the season where it was affecting their play. And so Vanny, he tried to be motivational about it. He tried to say, like, you know, it's just noise and it's bullshit and it doesn't affect us and all that. And Hefty Cook of the fan base was really offended. They thought that he was bad-mouthing the boycott and boycotting something that was very important. And, you know, Danny's not a PR guy, right? Like the guy, MLS clubs pay people solely to do PR. That's not his job to do PR and be the coach, because those are two different things, right? You're going to say things as a coach, it's going to piss off the fans, and you're going to say things from a fan's perspective, it's going to piss off the players. Like, it's like Ghostbusters, like crossing the streams. You can't cross the streams, right? And so I had a lot of sympathy for Greg. This year, I think the difference, not only with him, but with the players, they know they're good. They know they're an elite team. Last year, they won 2 away games all 2023. You know, they had no verticality. They basically had to pass the ball 100 times and get everything perfect to even get a shot on goal. This year, they're good, and they know they're good, and they have the swagger, and Greg has his players behind him. I mean, if you have to babysit Douglas Costa, you know, and you're having to tell the media, oh, yeah, this dude's in the greatest shape of his career, yeah. Like that's him doing his job. Like, this year, he's got players who are behind him. He's got a team that's behind him, and again, it's a subtle but very important point. Like Delgado said, the players know what to do, and they're being effective with how they're being instructed how to play. So it's completely different from last year, where as good as Tyler Boyd was, it was you had a lot of players who might have fit, but maybe they didn't understand the roles or just imperfect pieces. Again, yeah, he's been in charge 4 years, and this is the first time where he's actually got a hand that he likes, and you're seeing it on the field.
What do you think management and ownership learned from those last couple of years to where this good start is going in right now?
Well, what I can tell you is from the outside, it might be kind of weird. Chris Klein, he's a thoroughly good dude. He's a good person. He was also handpicked by AEG's old executive, Tim Leiwicki. He was handpicked to lead the Galaxy. So, like, you know, this is at the highest levels, like Phil Anschutz, right? So if you got a billionaire who wants his guy in his spot, like, that's doesn't matter what the fans, anyone. That was just it. I mean, for crying out loud, he returns for an 11th season, right? A two-sentence email to LA Times beat writer Kevin Baxter, a two-sentence email solely to him saying he will be returning for an 11th season. I mean, that's kicking shit behavior, you know? I mean, and what happened was it got to the point where you had the boycott and then the results, and you know, it's one thing to have your guy in the role, but once the brand takes a dive, once attendance takes a dive, once the legacy of the club takes a dive, what's left to defend? And that was, you know, just to be honest, that was AAT's mistake, is they held on to their guy too long. But the good news is that Dan Beckerman stepped up to the plate, and he did a bunch of great things. The first thing he did was, a month before he got rid of Klein, he hired Will Koontz. And remember, Klein's supposed to be suspended, so that was not a Chris Klein move. That was a Dan Beckerman and a Greg Vanney or whatever move. And so a month later, they dismissed Klein, and then they restructured the front office, and then they hired Will Misselbrook to do, content, create. I don't know how to handle those long, stupid titles, but, yeah, he's done a great job. Will Koontz has done an amazing, amazing job. And by the way, he stepped up to the plate. He's recognized the opportunity, and he's become a more public figure, which I think is very smart of him also, because people are responding to it after dealing with, you know, the clandestine nature of, you know, Klein, and then also Jovan Karofsky, who I don't know how he got that Milan job. That's got to be his laptop hooking him up or something. But, like, yeah, Jovan never spoke to the media once, like, the entire time. And, you know, you had Klein, who at one point was a public figure, and then once things kind of hit a certain threshold, he would no longer be at games. And then, so you have this front office that's just not there, and all of a sudden you have Will Koontz, who shows up and he's like, hey, let me walk up to the stand and hang out with the fans at, like, the San Jose game at PayPal Park, for instance. I mean, that's a smart man. Like, when you're going so many years and you have these executives who are just sort of hiding in their offices, and then you got a guy who is willing to be transparent, whether it's going on Corner of the Galaxy or talking to me for like 15 minutes, he's a good dude, and even from what I've heard from front office folks, he's very open. He walks around the office. He'll just talk to people. I mean, what more could you want from an executive?
Nope, absolutely. And right now it looks like the Galaxy are off to a fantastic start to the season. It looks like it's a refreshed LA Galaxy to start this 2024 season. They got their next match at home against St. Louis City. What do you think they're going to be ready for when they take on the Missouri-based club?
Well, I told the fans to shut the F up and relax, so I guess I really have to hope that the Galaxy win next week so I don't look like a jerk. But, St. Louis, the big thing was, they overperformed last year. Would they be able to keep it up this year? So far, I mean, So far they're doing okay, but I think that this is going to be an opportunity for the Galaxy to, you know, to prove that they can consistently keep up what they've been doing so far this year. I mean, to be fair, it's only been three games, and you want to – it's too early in the season to do, like, sample sizes and all that. We got to see what happens. We got to see these guys play about a dozen teams before we can figure out if they're actually good or not. But I'm looking forward to seeing Gabriel Peck. He got married over the weekend. That's why he didn't show up. Dejan Jovovic, and speaking of, you know, but if you want to put Vanny Ball and how successful it's been in perspective, Jovovic leads MLS in goals. He's got three goals in three games, and he has not been performing that well. He missed the PK. He missed a few really good opportunities. But what we're seeing is a Dejan Jovovic that's getting the ball in really good spots. I believe like the average distance or something is like 7-8 yards from goal or something when he's getting touches inside the box. So he's getting into a spot for tappings, you know, and that's what you want to see from Jovovic. Last year he was a little too focused on just trying to get the ball as opposed to just being in the right spots. And even Vanny spoke about that being kind of his evolution. With all these new pieces, he doesn't have to fight so hard to get service. He just needs to be in the right spots. And so for him to have three goals in three games despite a missed PK, missed opportunities, I mean, once he gets rolling, dude, like, again, like all I see out of this team right now is just potential. Oh, but yeah, nope. St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I don't know, man. Other than a dinner in, like I don't see St. Louis having a consistent threat against this improved Galaxy defense. But LA sure as hell better figure out who's taking PKs. And no more defensive slip-ups or anything like that. Maybe just execute this weekend.
Yep, that's all you can do, and that's all you can hope for. Mike, as always, thank you so much, my friend, for being on the show tonight. Go and check out Mike Gray's coverage of the LA soccer scene, whether it be the Galaxy. He also dives into the LAFC section. It's El Trafico TV, and once again, he's a rock star. Take my word for it. The man is a rock star. Period.
I'm going to go play guitar now. I got to talk to you later.
I always knew you were a lead guitarist. Come on.
Dude, get out of here, man. I'll talk to you later.
I'll talk to you later. Mike Gray, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks again, Mike. Have a good night. All right. Mike Gray, ladies and gentlemen. El Trafico TV. Great guy. Always was a very great guy during my time. Him and I at SB Nation covered the Galaxy for LAG Confidential. Me at Once a Metro on the Red Bulls. Great guy as always, and always happy and obliged to talk to him and have him on the show during his Galaxy coverage of the club. Also, as we keep going on here real quick, this past weekend was the start of the USL Championship League on CBS Sports Galazzo Network. You can catch that live on Pluto TV. That's free. Or if you do have the Paramount Plus website or app, you can watch it there as well. You know, to see the United Soccer Leagues being connected full-time now with both ESPN and CBS Sports, it is an amazing thing to see. To see the United Soccer Leagues just coming out of nowhere and getting these amazing deals. And it's not just broadcasting games for a nationally televised audience, but it's also the streaming services. ESPN Plus, CBS Sports Galazzo Network, Paramount Plus, CBS Sports Network, ESPN, what a great moment this is for our game in this country. Now, I understand why MLS took the big deal with Apple. They took the money. But still, though, this, my friends, was just an amazing thing to see. And I was just happy for them. I was very, very happy for them. And to see, of course, not just them, but for the Championship League, but for USL League One, they'll have some games broadcasted as well. It's going to be exciting and a lot of fun. So there is plenty of time, plenty of games to watch, whether it be streaming or on linear television. ESPN, CBS Sports, doing an amazing job of doing things the right way, while, of course, MLS will be streaming everything on Apple TV with a match here or there through Fox Sports. And once again, that will still be a question mark. But we'll see what happens down the road. But once again, I'm happy. I'm thrilled. I'm excited. It is an absolutely fun thing to see this sport in this country getting on linear television, streaming services, and it is the people that know how to broadcast professional soccer here in our country, professional football in our country. It is, without a doubt, a great thing to see. And now it's time to talk about the New York Rebels. They are unbeaten in their last three, a two-match winning streak, as they defeated FC Dallas by final of 2-1. It was a strong, solid, I would say, 60 minutes of play for the Red Bulls until they conceded that goal on the free kick by Jesus Ferreira. And then, you know, it got away from them a little bit. They lost control a little bit, but they were able to take advantage towards the end, and they won the match 2-1. Emil Forsberg finally getting on the board with that penalty conversion as Lewis Morgan got taken down inside the area. And then in the second half, great ball by Elise Manuel, springing the attacking run, sending Emil Forsberg down the right, down the far side flank, catching Lewis Morgan down the middle, makes it, just got his head up, makes a nice cross into the middle of the park, and Morgan just converts it inside the near post. 2-0 at the time. We already talked about Ferreira converting it to make it 2-1, but it's 3 points in the bag. First win of the season at home. First Red Bull Arena win for Sandro Schwarz. And, you know, let me just say this. Yeah, he wasn't happy in the second half after the 2-0 scoreline became 2-1 because they just lost control. They were not able to basically clamp it down. And when they did have chances, they couldn't put them away. And that's the one thing that we know it's been a problem. But here's the thing that really shows why this club has improved. It's improved defensively because of Noah Ele, the new center back who took over for Andreas Reyes, doing very well with Sean Nealis. Also, we all know what Forsberg can do in the midfield. And now you're seeing what Amaya can do with purpose. Now you're seeing what Edelman can do with purpose. Now you're seeing the back line not going too far deep in the attacking area because they are coming back to defend in that press. But it's not chaotic. It's controlled. And when you see that done by the Red Bulls, telling you right now, that, my friends, is why this new Red Bulls team is off to a great start. And here's another thing, too. I want to, like, really point this out. I really want to point this out. In three matches, there have only been two bookings. It was a clean game against Nashville. One booking because Frankie Amaya was forced to foul and was deservedly booked. Kyle Duncan, foolish foul, shouldn't have done it. He was properly booked. But that was it. Yes, there's been some fouls here and there, but nothing egregious. But it hasn't been that sustained fouling or that wildness of fouling that we've seen. And we're seeing better movements by the Red Bulls in this attack. It's not, you know, it's a great job by Ile. It's a great job by Forsberg. It's a wonderful job by Sandro Schwarz to bring more clarity in the attack and in the defending than what we have seen so far in the last several years. Now, granted, it's only been the third match of the season, so we don't want to get completely ahead of ourselves here. But seeing Sandro Schwarz absolutely doing a job here and making everything work the way he wants it to work, it is absolutely brilliant so far. He is doing well. Yes, more needs to be done, without a doubt. But what we are seeing at the moment is a Red Bull team that looks better, that looks capable, that looks like it has a purpose, and they are attacking. And they are not chaotic up front. That's the best thing with this entire situation. It's the best thing. I'm happy to see it. I know you're happy to see it. It is a marvelous thing to see, and hopefully it will continue on. Two-match winning streak, three-match unbeaten since, you know, to start the season. It's an excellent start for the first time in a long time. Can they hold on to this and translate it down the road? We'll have to wait and see. But at this point in time, Sandro Schwarz is doing an excellent job and a much better job than what Gerhard Struber did in his second season managing the Red Bulls. That's just the truth. And now we're seeing better looks from the subs, better looks from the starters, much more controlled, much more fluid passing and attacking than what we have seen in the past several years. This has been a strong, fantastic start. And when you look at the standings right now in the Eastern Conference, you have five clubs right now in a five-way tie for first place for 7 points. On the differential at the moment, Miami leads with a +6. Montreal is a +3. Columbus, the Red Bulls, have a +2. Toronto is even on the differential. And even though it's early in the year, the Red Bulls right now are playing the Columbus Crew this weekend at lower.com field. And then the following weekend, they're back at home for an afternoon tilt against Inter Miami. Messi may not play. We don't know yet. We'll find out later on. But these are two important games right now for the New York Red Bulls. If they want to solidify their hold for first place. Once again, Montreal, Columbus, New York, the Red Bulls, I should say, Toronto, and the majority of the Eastern Conference, with the exceptions of Atlanta and Philadelphia, have played three games, one game less than Miami. So this is a big moment here for the club. It's a big, big moment. Can they make a run here and solidify themselves into first place in the Eastern Conference? We'll have to wait and see what's going to happen. But until that does happen, just enjoy the ride. Just relax and enjoy the ride. Some news has popped up, of course, with the possibility of a certain player coming in. Now, once again, got this from Daniel Ribe over at Area Sportsnet, where apparently Tottenham has a decision to make. Tottenham has a decision to make because apparently What it sounds like is that Tottenham needs to keep Timo Werner if they want to sign his extension. And if it does not come to fruition, there's a possibility the Red Bulls might be grabbing Timo Werner and pairing him up here at the New York Red Bulls. Now, once again, the MLS transfer window is open until April 23rd. So, if Tottenham decides not to give the extension to Timo Werner and the Red Bulls, you know, they would like to bring him over and have him, you know, paired up with, you know, Emil Forsberg and be a better attacking option, then you know what? You know what? Why not? Why not? We'll see what happens. Who knows? Maybe a change of scenery will help him out. And he'll become the attacking player that Tottenham thought they were getting. Because they know each other very well. And if Forsberg is going to be feeding Timo Werner on the attacking end, then let's go for it. But until then, once again, Daniel Rebane of Area Sportsnet found the news. So we'll see what happens. And who knows, maybe this will become big. Maybe this will be the moment that the Red Bull, New York Red Bulls are looking for. It's not a bad thing. And the article originally, as I tried to find a tweet from Daniel Rebane, originally came from LVZ Sport in Germany. So as I've said already, this current transfer window, spring-winter transfer window, is open in MLS till the 23rd of April. Right now, we're on March 11th. So we're still a little over a month for this window to be open. A little over a month, and I would say a week. Over a month and a week open still. If Tottenham wants to deny his option, let's go for it. The purchase option is reported to be between 15 to 20 million pounds in England. And obviously, I think they paid for that. So all I can say is, let's just go. Let's see what happens. Let's see if it's able to come to fruition. And hopefully everything will go well. And let's hope that Julian de Guzman, the new sporting director, will be able to bring him over. That's going to be exciting to see, and I cannot wait. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank my guest tonight, Mike Gray from El Tráfico TV. Of course, he covers the LA Galaxy and the Times as well, LAFC. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Join me this Friday night as we'll be reviewing the second leg, round of 16 in the 2024 CONCACAF Champions Cup. And then the following week, Open Cup. Round one, CONCACAF Nations League. More MLS, USL, American soccer action. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight. I hope you enjoyed the show. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, Listen in to all the podcast platforms, FeedSpot, Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, I should say, as well as Pandora. Thank you for listening to me tonight. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Take care. So long, and have a good evening. Bye-bye for now. Have a good night, everybody.